Blog Talk Radio.
And I am so excited to spend this next 30 minutes with you talking about empowerment, life enhancement, overcoming obstacles, and we're just going to have a great discussion this evening because I am so happy and thrilled to be one of the leaders in positive, empowering media, empowering radio, because we know, everybody knows that media has just such a bad habit of dragging out all the negative news. And don't you just get tired of hearing all the negative news? If it bleeds, it leads. But here on Living by Design, we focus on the positives. We know that you can enhance your life. We know that you can overcome obstacles. And that's what we're here to do, is try to help you accomplish it. Now, tonight, we want to do something a little bit different. Typically, I have experts and psychologists and doctors and people come on the show to help you with whatever it is you're struggling with. Well, tonight, we're going to speak with an individual who is an average person, just like you and I. She's not famous. She's not a celebrity. She's an average individual who overcame some tremendous obstacles. And I asked her to come on the show because I wanted her to share her story, and she was just so wonderful and generous and accepted my invitation to come and share her story. And actually, I met her at the Professional Woman Network. She is in the Professional Woman Network with me, and that's how I met her. She's one of my PWN sisters. And when I heard her speak at this year's conference, it just really touched my heart. And I wanted her to come on the show and share her story because it's just, it's an amazing story. So with that, I am going to bring Elizabeth Scott on the line. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. Doing really good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am so happy that you accepted the invitation because there are so many people who have been in your position and are still in your position. And you know, we all have issues in our lives. It doesn't matter who the person is, actually. I mean, whether you're a celebrity or famous or not, everyone has something that they're dealing with, they have dealt with, or they're still dealing with. And I just wanted to bring you on here because your story was so compelling when I heard it the first time, and it just really touched my heart and my soul. And I felt like it could really help others. So that's what I'm all about here on the Living by Design show, to help change the lives of other people. And if I can do that by being transparent with my experience and the experience of others, then that's what we want to do. So, Elizabeth, you heard me introduce you as one of my PWN sisters. So if you want to talk a little bit about your professional work first, then we'll go into some of your personal challenges that you had to overcome. So why don't you just talk a little bit about your professional work you're doing.
Okay. Well, most recently, I graduated with my master's in social work, and I work for the cabinet. I'm a state employee. I work on a domestic violence team, and I investigate adult and child abuse and neglect, and most recently got involved with PWN and really excited with my social work background to get plugged in with speaking and co-authoring some books. So.
Excellent. Absolutely. Yes, you have been so far featured in we do a compilation of chapters, a lot of our PWN sisters from all walks of life, all different nationalities and professional experience levels. We get together and we each do a chapter. And Elizabeth, you're in how many books now, or one or two?
I'm currently in one with two in the works. So that's
great.
Really exciting. I've got two coming out next year.
Excellent, excellent. And what chapters are you, what are the topics you're writing about?
The next chapter that I'm working on is going to be on self-sabotage and getting rid of negative behaviors and habits. The chapter, my first chapter was on education, the front of the class, the power of education, because as I'll tell throughout my story, that it was through education and through my journey that really turned my life around. So that was definitely near and dear to my heart.
Wonderful, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Great.
Yes, your journey, our journeys, the journey that we go through. Life is a journey, everyone. Absolutely it is. Please don't think you're just on this planet just to take up space, because you're not. You are here for a purpose. And Elizabeth is going to share her story, and I'm just going to shut up here and let you go ahead and just jump right in and start wherever you think is important to start. So go ahead.
Okay, well, it seems like it's been a lot of obstacles, one after another, but it hasn't always been that way. I was raised by a single mom, and so some of my obstacles were kind of out of my control, but a lot of them were creations of my own choices, and that started pretty early. I didn't have a lot of guidance or parenting at times, and I almost dropped out of high school, and I think towards the end of my senior years, they just passed me on just because I was so close. So to say the least, education was not important. It was not at the top of my list. Whether or not I was in with the wrong crowd or just sought a lifestyle that was problematic. I experimented with drugs. I had a lot of partying. Didn't really have a lot going on. And the first turning point for my life, I would say, was when I had gotten pregnant with my daughter. I had children at 22 and 24 years of age. And it was really during those 2 years that I was able to look at myself and I figured, is this what I want to pass on? Is this, am I on the right track? And I wasn't. So identifying really the behaviors that I were creating, getting the bad outcomes, but I had to own up and take ownership and decided. So slowly, it didn't happen overnight. It was over a couple of years. But I had been homeless, kind of backing up a little bit. For the first time, I was kicked out of my house at 15 years old and was 100% homeless at 17. Stayed here and there wherever I could until I was able to get my own apartment. Then it was soon after that that I had gotten pregnant. I didn't stay with their father. It was a fairly abusive relationship, a very unhealthy lifestyle, a very illegal lifestyle. And for me, mm-hmm. having kids, it was motivating that I can't pass this along. Still pretty much alone. I mean, I'd burned a lot of bridges. But then I started community college. And from there, I started kind of networking, got plugged in with a counselor. And, it's almost like I had to show people all over again what I was about, because a lot of people, what I had been about wasn't about anything. A lot of people didn't want anything to do with me. So turning things around was really challenging. It was almost like moving neighborhoods. I was familiar with one neighborhood, but I knew the new neighborhood was going to be better. But I didn't know anybody, and it was just a different way of life. So I really had to build a support system. I got plugged in with an organization called Family Scholar House. They help single parents that have experienced homelessness, that support them with housing and academic and case management while they earn their four-year degree. I didn't really want a four-year degree. Heck, I barely graduated high school. So to get a two-year degree would have defied all odds. And from there, I just plugged away. I did very well at school. I had honors and made really good grades. And it was just about turning things around and making better decisions, being around better people. I definitely, one of the hardest things I had to do was let go of some people. And I can't tell you how many times I said, it's not against you, it's just for me, because having my family, you know, at one point disown me, people kind of shunned me. I thought, I'll never give up on anybody the way people gave up on me. But as I've grown, I've realized there's people you need to let go of. It's not giving up on them. It's just believing in yourself more. So that was huge for me, was realizing I'm not giving up on people. I'm just investing more in myself, in like-minded people.
That's great.
Yeah. So I did go through, you know, Family Scholar Houses program. They've, you know, supported me academically. They supported me emotionally. They helped me bond the ties with my family. You know, it was a platform where I could show them, you know, I have changed, and I have two amazing kids that are watching me. I'm their role model. And I got my two-year degree, and I thought I was finished because that's as far as I wanted to go. Really still lacking in self-confidence, but I had done well. And they said, no, we'll support you. You need to go on. And I would have never thought that I would have graduated with my master's this past May, barely graduating high school, but
right.
I did. I'm so excited to be in the field of social work because my whole journey, and obviously there's a lot more highs and lows than what I've mentioned, but it all comes together kind of like there is a purpose for it, whether it be a single parent, whether it be someone in an abusive relationship, someone who's had ins and out with, you know, drugs and alcohol, to kind of be that story that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Because, boy, when you're in the middle of it and you feel so alone and you think, how am I going to get through this? Looking back on it, I don't know how I got through it if it wasn't for the support that I had. But definitely it's coming together that if I can say, if I can do it, you can do it. And kind of give, you know, stories and tips through what I experienced. I know that it's definitely not in vain. If by sharing some of the things that I did that can prevent somebody else from going down the same path or encouraging them out of it.
That's
what it took for me. And so I'm really excited to be kind of on the other side of it. I don't do on accident what I used to do on purpose. And that's huge for me because there was a time in the beginning of turning around. The best thing I said, I have to start somewhere. I'm going to wear my seatbelt, which seems so minuscule. I mean, it's the law, but that's where my behaviors, that's where my actions were. The best thing I could do that day was put my seatbelt on when I drove because it was the law and it was the right thing to do. So I've come a long,
right.
long way.
Right.
But again, taking ownership and determining what is it is that I can change. And what is it that I need to get away from?
Exactly.
So super
and I just have to ask you, I just got to back up a little bit and ask you, when you were in the situation where you were homeless and you felt helpless and hopeless and, you know, just, you know, everything is just falling apart in my life and you know, it's just not working, at what point did you feel that, this has to change, and I've got to be the one to make a change? Is it when you had your first child?
It was.
Or was it before that?
It was right before that, just probably about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks before I found out I was pregnant, I literally, Kathy, was on my knees, and I was praying, and I said, something has got to change. I'm going to die. I mean, my lifestyle was out of control. My girlfriends, we were out of control. And I got down on my hands and knees and said, please, God, something's got to change. 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. And I got back down on my knees and I said, this is not the change I prayed for. This is not right. Even more scared. But that was the number one turning point when I did find out I was pregnant. And, you know, quit drinking, quit drugging, quit partying. But again,
right.
I had so far to go. But that was definitely a wake-up call. My children are exactly 2 years apart. So my daughter was barely 1 year old, and I found out I was pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't look like a statistic, people thought, oh, my gosh, it didn't work the first time with him. What are you doing again? But I know now
mm-hmm.
it was all practice. And even further motivated me, like, to increase my education, to be a role model, whether it be what I was watching on TV, what I was listening to on the radio, everything that came into my contact affected my children. And so it really was my children that motivated my change. And as far as being homeless, one thing that changed after having kids, is that a lot of people, when you don't have kids, you wear your welcome out a lot quicker, and then they'll put you out. But once I had kids, I don't know if it was, you know, pity or sympathy, or heck, maybe they saw that I was really trying to do right by my children. But again, getting into Family Scholar House really, really gave us the stability and the consistency that we needed. My children saved my life.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm so glad that you shared that piece, because there are so many people out there who are listening, you know, who are going through similar situations. And, you know, I have to say that when you mentioned about you got on your knees, you know, prior to finding out you were pregnant with your first child, and you ask God, you know, something has to change. I always say be careful what you ask for, be careful what you pray for, because it may not come in the form that you meant it to come, but God comes in the form that he knows that you have to have, because if he had just rescued you from that situation, you may have fallen back. You may have went back to it. So he had to give you the change that he knew was going to turn your life around, and that was to give birth to another life.
Yeah.
And by being responsible for another life, he knew that that's the change you needed. Yeah, and when that happened, I can believe that you said, this is not the change I asked for, but it's the change that he knew you needed.
Yeah, and definitely coming from, you know, a single-parent household, I just knew that, you know, we'd get married, we'd work things out, everything, we'd live happily ever after. So, yes, being a single mom, which I'm still a single mom today, and if I don't mind saying, I mean, what we're doing just fine. Thankfully, I haven't felt the need to get back into another relationship just so I have a man, just so I have that kind of security. So I can do bad all by myself, and I've already proven that. And so it's just me and my kids, and again, my family. We've rekindled the support that I have there, but I'm not looking back.
Excellent. And, you know, as far as the relationship situation, I really truly believe that the reason most relationships fail is because when the first relationship, or the second, or third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, 20, or 100th relationship fails, people jump into new relationships too quickly. Before they have cleansed and understood who they are, whose they are, what happened, what didn't happen, what went wrong, all of those things have to be assessed before you move into a new relationship. Because if you don't know what went wrong in the first relationship and you jump into a new relationship just so that you won't be lonely, you're on the rebound. And rebound relationships very rarely work. So I'm so glad you said that you don't need a man. You're absolutely right. What you need to do is heal and understand what it is that you want in a relationship, what it is that you bring to the table, and what it is that you want from your significant other when he comes along. So you are I'm just so proud of the decisions and choices you've made. I think you're just doing everything in a phenomenal way, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So what's the next move, or what's the next plan for Elizabeth? You have your master's, and I'm just so excited about that. So what are your next plans, your next steps?
My next plan is not as strategic as getting through my bachelor's. And I was pretty straightforward because I had a plan. And now that I've kind of exceeded all the goals that I had, to start out now, I think I do have goals as far as a commitment that I have with my job, and I've been certified. I want to go on and get supervision, possibly have my own practice one day, definitely get as plugged in as I can with EWN and do more books and do more speaking. But I don't have a straight and narrow plan, because I honestly feel that for it to be straight and narrow, I would be selling myself short. I have been absolutely amazed this past year, the doors that have been opening. And I'm
absolutely
just excited to see opportunities, to create opportunities. But on the long term, as far as a real specific goal, I don't want to sell myself short. And so I'm just really open to what God has in store. And, again, I think I'd be selling myself short. But it's definitely, you know, moving along in my social work career and whatever doors can open through PWN. I'm super excited. I know as long as I keep putting one foot in front of the other in the direction that I'm going, I can't go wrong. And the more people that, you know, that I can advocate for and touch their lives, I'm so excited. I didn't realize even just the connection with you, Kathy, and thank you so much for having me on tonight. Even in this magnitude,
no,
I had no idea that it would be this soon that I would be able to share my story and impact people. And so I'm going to seize the opportunities as they present themselves.
And I love that. I really love that because, I mean, I always say, I'm a very spiritual person, and I always say, if you pray and you ask God to order your steps, then you've got to be ready and willing to move your feet. And you definitely are moving your feet. You're moving your life. You are making the right choices. And you're right. You may not have a clear cut plan, but you are in action. When you know that you want to change your life, and you know that you want something better, whether you know how all the steps are going to be brought to fruition or whether you don't, as long as you are doing something toward your plan every day, that's better than doing nothing and not knowing what to do next. So I applaud you. You are putting your actions to where they need to be, and that's the most important thing. You have to do something. Now, you could just sit there and say, okay, I have my master's degree, you know, I've overcome some odds, and now I'm going to just sit and wait and see what comes next. But you're not doing that. You're continuing to move forward. You're continuing to join PWN. You're continuing to connect with people like myself and others who can get you speaking opportunities and those types of things. So you have to stay busy. Always stay out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Just don't rest on your laurels and think, okay, I'm done now, because our work is never done. There's always someone who can benefit, and I just applaud you. I applaud you so much. And I know my listeners are going to really be empowered. They're going to be so happy, and they're just going to get a sense of, I know I can do this. If she did it and everything that she went through and she overcame at such a young age, because you're still very, very young, and you overcame all those obstacles and all those odds because that's what you wanted to do, and that's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line.
Thank you.
And I just think that there's someone out there that really needed to hear this story, and there's also people out there who are going through some things, and I know you may not know how you're going to come out of it, how you're going to get around it, through it, beyond it, over it, under it. But all you need to do is get on your knees. God answers email. Put down the email. Put down the text messaging. Put down all the media diversions that are in our society today. And I just think that totally takes away from the inner strength that we possess, because if we could just tap into that inner strength and tap into that, just like Elizabeth said, she got down on her knees and she asked God, please direct me. Please show me what to do. And he answered her prayer. And if we can do more of that and silence our mind, silence your thoughts, allow God to speak to you, but he can't speak to you when you're all caught up in media news and internet and Facebook and all these media diversions. We've got to be able to hear God when he speaks to us. So I just implore you to please take our advice and listen to Elizabeth and the things that she experienced. And I've had many experiences like that in my own life where I was in situations that I was not happy and I was not fulfilled. And, you know, it was just very, very tough, very challenging. And I did the same thing. I had to just stop and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Please show me the way to go. And yes, you're right. I had to let go of some very toxic people. It was painful, but I had to let go. And you're right. It wasn't against them. It was for me. And I love what you said when you said that. It was just, you know, something that we have to do. So, Elizabeth, you have absolutely been amazing, amazing. And I know we're coming up on the last 5 minutes of the show. So I just wanted to ask you if you had to give advice to someone out there who's listening and you're going to make the difference in whether they succeed or fail, what would be your words of encouragement to them?
Well, for me, the biggest step was identifying what I had control over. What of my actions can I change or what can I control? And so it really would be to take a personal inventory, decide what it is that's going to make the biggest change in your life that you have control over. You can do something. And then every next move you make, if it's not in the same direction as that goal, you might want to take a different decision.
I couldn't agree more. I absolutely couldn't agree more. And I also say to surround yourself with positive people, as Elizabeth stated. If there's someone in your life and they're toxic and they're bringing you down and they're always criticizing you and they knock you down more than they lift you up, please, please break that tie, because there are so many other supportive people out there. Please feel free to email me at Kathy, with a C, Kathy, at chollowayhill.com, and I will help you. I will be there for you. There's so many different avenues and so many different support groups that are there to help, and that's what we're trying to let you know today, that you are not alone. You are not alone. So, you know, we really, really, really have had a great conversation tonight, and I just thank you so much, Elizabeth. I mean, everybody listening, I'm sure they have, you know, got a lot of people dialed in listening, and I received a lot of email notes from this show when they knew that you were going to be coming on. So I thank you so much, and we have I would like to have everyone who's listening to this show tonight to send me an email note. And this is something that I'm going to do special. Just hit me. You know, God gave me this offer. Send me an email note, Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at chollowayhill.com. That's chollowayhill.com. And I want you to go to my website and choose from my books and CD page, choose a CD that you believe would help you in your journey toward healing, in your journey toward life improvement, or whatever your goals are, whatever you're trying to overcome. I want to be able to help you with that. So I want you to select and I will send you an email note and let me know, and I will send that to you free of charge as my gift to you. Okay? So, Elizabeth, again, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. I know you have helped thousands of people with their situations, and we're going to have you back on the show soon, because I know you're going to be coming back talking about your book that you're going to be authoring, and, you know, it's just such an exciting time for you, and I'm so proud of you. So we're going to sign off for now, and we thank you, Elizabeth, and we thank everyone for tuning in and listening to the Living by Design show. Until next week, have a blessed week, everyone. Good night.